Thank you, Ernie, for those opening thoughts. The thought of water for our dry and thirsty souls. And you know, in life, every one of us face times where our souls are dry and thirsty. God has the answer for that. He wants to give us His water. And today we're going to have a special service. This evening we're going to have communion and remember what God has done for us, what Jesus done for us, His sacrifice. And what better way to fill our dry and thirsty souls than to think of what Jesus has done for each one of us. So I want to greet all of you in Jesus' name this morning. Welcome you to the service here. Victor, it's good to have you here. So, yeah, pray that God could be with us and that as we look into His Word, like Ernie prayed, that we could hear Him speak. So, communion this evening. We're not going to get into that this morning. We have something a little bit different this morning. Before communion, we always have these what we call council meetings or a self-examination service where we look into our hearts and we see what's there. And, you know, I was thinking about this. I was like, so council meeting, where does council meeting come from? Where does this self-examination before communion come from? Is this just some ritual that we do, or is there some reason for this? And you probably all well know the answer, but you can turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to be looking more towards the end of the chapter, but here in this chapter, from verse 17 on, Paul is addressing the Corinthian church, the church there in Corinth, and he's addressing an issue they had with taking communion. And apparently they were doing it unworthily. And verse 18, he mentions divisions among them. Verse 19, he mentions heresies. And they were taking communion at the same time they had these things in their hearts and in their lives. And Paul says, you can't do that. And we're going to read verses 27 through 29. It says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So here we find the reason for council meeting. Because it says that if we partake unworthily, we're eating and drinking damnation to ourselves. And verse 28 says, but let a man examine himself. So that's what we're here to do this morning, to look into our hearts, to look into our lives and see what's there. So our service this morning is not just a ritual. It's not just something that we've decided is a good idea. It's something that the Bible tells us to do, that Paul gives teaching on. I'm not saying this is the only way that this could be done, but it's how we've chose to do it. You know, I had to think, wouldn't it be more fun? I don't know if fun's the right word, but wouldn't it be easier just to come and have communion? Just come and have a service where we think about, we revel in the great love of God. We marvel at Jesus' love, His sacrifice, the commitment that took Him to the cross. We can be amazed and talk about salvation and how that His blood paid for my sins, has removed them as far as east is from the west. You know what? I'm looking forward to doing that this evening, if the Lord wills. That's going to be a blessed time to remember those things. Praise God for them. But what about examining ourselves? That's a little bit more uncomfortable, isn't it? What we have here to do this morning. You know, this word examine basically means a detailed inspection or investigation. A detailed inspection or investigation of my heart. What's in my heart? What is in my life? So my question is, does that make me uncomfortable this morning? Does that bother me to take time to really look at my heart and see what's there? Am I scared to do that because I'm afraid what I'm going to find? Do I know that if I allow the light of God to shine into every corner of my heart, there's going to be something there that shouldn't be? You know, I know what those feelings are like. They're uncomfortable. And if we're scared this morning to look into our hearts, if we're scared because we know there's something in there that shouldn't be, and we don't want God to uncover that, we don't want it to come to light, I'm here to tell you that that's called bondage. But I'm also here to tell you that there's freedom from bondage, and that freedom comes from the light of God shining all the way to the bottom of my heart and show me what's there. There's nothing hidden. You know, if I'm truly saved this morning, I'm going to want that. I'm going to ask God to come into my heart and show me what's really in there. There's nothing going to be hid, nothing held back. You know, if I'm saved, if I have a relationship with God, I'm going to want to know about all those little things that could taint and hinder my relationship with Jesus. Because I know that if those things left go, they're going to continue on and eventually that relationship is going to be severed. And friends, if we have tasted of the goodness and the mercies of God this morning, that's the last thing we want to happen. To lose our relationship with God. So freedom is found in God's love and God's light shining into every corner of my heart, where there's no place that God can't go, nothing that He can't touch and say, something needs to change. You know, if I'm too afraid to open my heart, if I'm unwilling to open my heart to God this morning, to look into my heart, I better fall before God and cry out to Him to save me. Because I can assure you, it's much better to fall on that stone and be broken than to have it fall on us and grind us to powder. He talks about that. Also, I want to look at verse 28 again. And children, I have a little test for you. I'm going to read this verse again, and somebody needs to tell me what I say wrong. Okay? Verse 28. But let a man examine his neighbor, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So what did I say wrong? Somebody tell me? Tristan.
You should examine
yourself. All right. That's exactly right. But that's not near as much fun, is it? It's a whole lot more fun to look at somebody else. And you know, unfortunately, I've seen way too often where council meeting becomes just that, a time of looking at other people and seeing what all they're doing wrong and throwing mud. And friends, that's wrong. That's not at all what the Bible says. The Bible says that I'm supposed to look at myself. Let every man examine himself. Now, I'm not in any way saying that we get away from going to our brother in love when we feel like there's something in their life that needs help, something that's going to take them away from God. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about this morning, the heart that I'm supposed to examine is right here. It's not in you. My heart is the one that I need to be looking at. Yes, I hope your heart this morning is getting a detailed inspection, an investigation, but I hope it's you that's doing it, not me. You know, sometimes it actually would be easier if it was up to other people to inspect my heart, because then I could actually hide what's in there. Because you can't see everything that's in there. You know, man looks at the outside, but God sees the heart. And I can tell you that it makes that impossible for you and I to truly examine our hearts and hide what's in there. It also means that I might as well go ahead and look in my heart, because God already knows what's there. So this morning, why is this so important? Why is it so important that we examine our hearts before we take of communion? Well, we can look here at these verses again, verses 27 and 29. Verse 27 says that, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." Be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Verse 29 says, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." You know, by taking part of communion, we're professing that we know Jesus. We're professing that his blood has come and into our hearts and washed us clean. And we found his living presence in us. And we know what his power is and what it can do through our hearts and in our lives. And so, to profess that knowledge and then to turn around and do that while I'm hiding sin, or while there's something there that shouldn't be, it says we drink and eat and drink damnation into ourselves. We judge ourselves by doing that. We can turn to Hebrews chapter 10. This passage speaks into this subject here a little bit. Hebrews 10, and I'm going to read verses 26 through 29. "For if we willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, for if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace." So here in verse 28, it says that under the law of Moses, it only took two or three witnesses to condemn a person to death. People were killed without mercy for disobeying the law. Verse 29, "Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God." To trod under foot the Son of God. In my Bible here, it actually references this part here that says, "And hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing." My Bible references this back to those verses we just read there in 1 Corinthians 11. I don't really know for sure, was the Hebrew writer thinking about the same thing? But it's the same principle. It's the same thing he's talking about here. Verse 26 says that there is no more sacrifice for sin. After we sin willfully, after knowing the love and forgiveness of God. You know, if we partake of communion, professing peace with God while knowingly not living for Him, or hiding sin in our hearts, we're basically saying that Jesus' sacrifice is not enough. And it says there in 1 Corinthians 11 that we crucify, basically the same thing as we crucify Jesus again. You know, that's pretty serious. For me to profess with my actions that Jesus' sacrifice is not enough. Verse 26 says here that there's not going to be another sacrifice. Friends, this morning Jesus made that final sacrifice and God was satisfied. The scripture tells us there's not going to be another one. So for us to partake of communion while still living in sin, while hiding sin in our hearts or knowingly not right with God, we're bringing judgment on ourselves. We're basically saying that Jesus would need to die again to save me from that. Verse 29 here, it says, Hebrews 10, it says, we do despite unto the Spirit of grace. Or basically, we insult the Spirit of grace. And the Spirit of grace is what brings and offers to us salvation. To insult the Spirit of grace is a very grave thing indeed. You know, salvation, the shedding of Jesus' blood, is what cleanses us from sin. And to partake of communion at the same time as willfully living in sin, we insult the Spirit of grace that offers that salvation to us. You know, I sometimes wonder if council meeting and communion have almost become a bit of a thing that we just do. It's something that happens twice a year and we go through it and say the right things and partake. But do we realize how serious God and Jesus look at this? To partake unworthily. Now, I want to be clear, all of us are humans, and we have struggles in life. There's going to be times that we slip and we fail, and that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a deliberate turning away from God, of knowing that I'm not right with Him, of having something in my life, some sin that I'm unwilling to make right. If we're pressing towards the mark in the battles and struggles of life, we slip and fall, but cry out to God for help and repent. That's what God's grace is for. That's what salvation is all about. That's not what we're talking about this morning. To partake unworthily, we're talking about a willful hiding of sin in our lives. Or when I know that I'm not what I should be, my life is not what God wants it to be. When I've not completely surrendered my heart and life to God, when I'm hiding some corner of my heart, I won't let God's love and light shine there. Do I understand this morning how serious this is? I think we do. So now I want to look a little bit about how do I examine myself? What is the ways that I should examine myself? Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. And it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It says, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? This verse is saying that nobody can give me a true picture of my heart. You know, we can easily agree with that, right? Nobody sees my heart. No one can judge me. They don't know what's in my heart. But I think this is actually also saying that even I myself am not always able to see a clear picture of what my heart is. Sin is deceitful, and we were born with a sinful heart. And many times, even I am not able to see what's there. So how can we know what's in our hearts? Look at verse 10. It says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. God is the one this morning that really knows what's in our heart. He knows the condition of our hearts even better than we do. God knows and He sees it all. He understands when we've done all we can and we are broken before Him and living for Him the best that we know how. He also knows very well when we're holding something back, when we're unwilling to go the whole way. Turn with me to Psalm 139, some very familiar verses here. And actually, the title for the message I want to take from these verses. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way after everlasting. So the title of the message is, Search Me, O God. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. You know, He's really the only one that can do it. He's the only one that knows all about it. It says He knows even our thoughts. Am I okay with God knowing all about my heart and my thoughts this morning? You know, if we ask God into our hearts, to search our hearts, we're asking Him to do it all. He's not going to come into our heart and only take half of it and let us have the other half. God wants every bit of it. Am I willing to do that? Is that what I'm asking of God this morning? To come into my heart and to search it and to show me what's really there? Or am I not willing to give it all? Is there the pleasures of life that I know He's going to ask me to give up? Too great? Do I have some sin or some wrong that I know will have to be confessed and I'm too proud to do it? Am I afraid He's going to ask me to do something that will require me to get out of this comfortable little spot I've worked so hard to make for myself? That's where we find ourselves this morning. We're only fooling ourselves because God already knows what's there. And just because we don't let Him in isn't going to change the end. Like I mentioned earlier, freedom comes from holding nothing back. It comes from asking God to search our hearts, to come in and to show us what is really there. You know, for God to examine our hearts and to show us what's there gives us the freedom to do something about it. And God can lead us in the way everlasting. You know, God uses, I think, many different things to reveal to us what He finds in our hearts. He uses His Word, the Scriptures. Hebrews 4:12 says, For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. God's word can show us what's in our hearts. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined it in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God often uses scriptures to convict us and to show us where things are not what they should be. It's important that we spend much time in the Word of God and allow His light to shine in our hearts. God often speaks to me in time of prayer and communion with Him. I think it's another way He speaks to us. You know, I've often found that while I'm pouring my heart out to God and just telling Him how I feel, and even when those feelings aren't right, you know, at those times God can bring things into my heart things into my mind that need attention, things that I should change. Let's never neglect our quiet time in prayer, our time with God. God often uses our conscience as well to speak to us, his still small voice. Times that still small voice tells us, that wasn't a nice thing to say. Or it shows us that we've become cold and that we've left sin creep into our lives. And it's displeasing to God. There's times that our conscience prompts us that, you should have spoke up for me. You should have spoken to that person. You didn't. When God speaks through our conscience, let's not drown it out and push it away, but listen carefully what he has to say to us. When we continually drown out our conscience with other things and try not to listen, eventually it will become less and less. This morning God might even speak to us through our brother and sister. And I know, yes, that sounds contradictory to what I just said earlier about each of us examining our own hearts. But I'm talking about when a brother comes to me in love and says, "Brother, I'm concerned about what I see in your life. Am I too proud to accept it? Or do I realize that God might be speaking to me?" God uses many ways to speak to us this morning. He sometimes uses the circumstances of life, the hard times that we face, to help us to become more like Him. Many different ways. But how is it with me this morning? How is it with you? Does the thought of God searching my heart cause me to be afraid? Or have I found true freedom? And I want absolutely nothing between me and God. I don't want anything to be there. And I want God in my heart to show me every corner. Do I want God's light to shine in and bring life where there's darkness? To show me where there's things that shouldn't be? And when it does, what is the question? The question is, what am I going to do with it? What am I going to do with those things? Do I allow God's light to provide me with a way of being free of those things? Or do I continue on in my own stubborn way? If you're here this morning with a very sensitive conscience, my heart goes out to you. I didn't want in no way for this message to disturb you or to cause you to stumble and lose your peace with God. I know what that's like. As a young man, I struggled a lot with a very sensitive conscience. But one thing I want to tell you, remember that the Spirit of God will always call you higher. It will always provide a way of life and peace. And the devil will try to bring condemnation to your heart. When God searches our hearts this morning, he doesn't condemn us. He gives us a way to live above the failures and the things that we find there that shouldn't be. He offers freedom. Freedom from the things that are holding us down. And Satan, at the same time, would like to condemn us and tell us that we're not even worth God's time. That we're too bad, but that's a lie. That's not true. Now, there is a fine line between when I'm willingly living in sin and a life that's displeasing to God. That is a life of condemnation. We should feel condemnation in those times. God give us wisdom to discern between condemnation that Satan tries to bring to us, and the condemnation of living a life displeasing to God. But always remember, God always offers life and peace, freedom. You know, for those here this morning that might be facing hard times in life, dark times, things that don't make sense, hurts, discouragement. You know, sometimes we reach the point in those times that we don't even know where we're at anymore. God longs to heal the brokenhearted. You know, he turned the broken body of Jesus and the dashed dreams of the disciples and followers of Jesus into the most beautiful gift the world has ever seen. The most beautiful gift given to mankind. God wants to do that with our hearts as well. He can make beautiful things out of broken hearts. This morning, if you're here and you know that your heart is not right with God, if you know that you're living in sin, if the love of the world has crept into our hearts and taken away our peace, if I find myself unwilling or scared to allow God to have his way in my heart and to show me what's really there, my plea is to you to cry out to God and ask him to search your heart and to deal with what he finds there, to get you out of bondage and into freedom. Friends, like I said before, he already knows what's there. Just keeping it from him won't change anything at all. So the challenge to us this morning, may we ask God to search our hearts. Can we ask him to come in and allow his light to shine there? We can find true freedom. We can find peace. We can have the knowledge that between me and God, there's nothing. Yes, I'm human. I struggle. I fail at times. I slip. But God's mercy and love forgives those things because I don't hide them. I make things right and clear them up. How is it with us this morning? Is our desire for God to come into our hearts and to search us and to show us what's really there? I'd like to read the song yet before I close. Search me, O God. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. I praise thee, Lord, for cleansing me from sin. Fulfill thy word and make me pure within. Fill me with fire where once I burned with shame. Grant my desire to magnify thy name. Lord, take my life and make it wholly thine. Fill my poor heart with thy great love divine. Take all my will, my passion, self, and pride. I now surrender, Lord, in me abide. O Holy Spirit, revival comes from thee. Send a revival, start the work in me. Thy word declares, thou wilt supply our need. For blessings now, O Lord, I humbly plead. Let's kneel for prayer.